Good morning, this is the BBC Light Programme. In a moment, a summary of the news and weather. Then, bright and early, half an hour of music, followed at 7 o'clock by more...
Easter 1964, and British broadcasting was in for a shock.
This is Radio Caroline on 199. The time is 12 o'clock. Hello, this is Chris Moore. I'll be with you playing records for the next 2 hours. Let's listen...
Offshore commercial radio had arrived in Britain. Radio Caroline broadcast from a boat anchored outside British territorial waters, and as such wasn't governed by the strict laws that had previously inhibited British broadcasting. Very quickly, the new station attracted a huge audience, and it wasn't long before other radio stations followed, among them one set up by pop singer Screaming Lord Such. Such chose to use an abandoned anti-aircraft fort in the Thames estuary.
This is Radio Such on 197 metres, medium wave. Well, now, you lucky people, if you'd like a request on Radio Such, then write to Radio Such, King's Agency, number 7, Denmark Street, London, WC2.
I thought the best thing to do is to run my own station, and that's exactly what I did. Set up Radio Such, and first of all, we started from an old boat. We rented that. When he'd finished his rounds of fishing, so his fishing trawling in the mornings, 12 o'clock onwards, it was a radio station. The only trouble was it was covered in fish scales and it stunk to heaven. And when all the reporters and press people come on, they all nearly killed themselves skating about. We used that for quite some time until the trawler had its insurance taken away because they said that they insured it for a fishing boat and not for a commercial radio station. So with no insurance, the guy panicked and said, you've got to get another boat or something, you know. And we tried to get some other boats around the same harbour, but had no luck. So in the end, just on one of our last broadcasts out there in the sea, we noticed these disused forts. And we said, well, why can't we... Can't we go on them? And he said, well, I don't know. I don't know who they belong to. So we made some inquiries and found out that they were ex-government forts, which hadn't been used for so many years. So through a solicitor, we found out that it's been abandoned out there as far as the government was concerned. So we just took them over and claimed squatters' rights.
Well, this is Radio Such, broadcasting to you from the gun towers of the Shivering Sands.
At the present time, our transmission structure is not very large. We don't have a big transmitter here. Unfortunately, we couldn't get our diesel generators onto the gun tower of the Shivering Sands because we haven't got the winching equipment, and nor is the boat big enough to be able to handle the generators on the deck.
The Shivering Sands Army Fort was used for the first test from Radio Such on the 27th of May 1964. The radio equipment was very primitive to start with, as the station's engineer, Tony Pine, recalls.
We had a look at his installation, which was crazy, absolutely crazy. You know, they're running on batteries, had to be charged every few hours. They're on the air and off the air. And he had with him, as was his way, three or four, I can't remember, gorgeous birds with him on the fort. And several other chaps milling around, obviously well out of their depth as regards being in the middle of the estuary 10 miles from anywhere. The difficulties involved of being out of contact with the shore were, it showed, you know. Investigated his equipment, such as it was, suggested that no way was it powerful enough to do a reasonable job.
At first, when we first started, everything was worked off of batteries, so it was really Mickey Mousey, and batteries would run down and we couldn't transmit. It was a crazy thing. But once we got going on that, we got a generator going and we got proper big-sized turntables, garrards and all the lot, you know, everything properly. Well, the funny thing is, the stuff was transmitted, it was ex-Navy stuff which we had bought. So the government was against us and we were running from government gun towers with government ex-Navy equipment as well. So it was a rather cheek on that respect. But it worked very good. It was all second-hand gear. generators and transmitters, and we had a good output, we had a good radius. It just fitted absolutely perfect for a radio station. It had storage space, and they had proper toilets and bathrooms, and it was just like a castle in the middle of the sea. So we were completely knocked out with it, and we really did enjoy it. We was getting a lot of respect for being there, because we had the guts to take them over and run the radio station from it. And we had threats with the Navy at one stage. The British government told them to get us off, and we refused to get on. And we had all the press behind us, and TV, everyone supporting us. And in the middle of threatening us and telling us to get off, they just pulled up anchor, a huge battleship, and cleared off. And the headlines the next day was Lord Such turns back the Navy.
Yeah, this is Radio Such on 197, and that was Freddie Cannon with The Urge. Now here's Handy Main by Jimmy Jones. I wonder if he really is.
Well, I was doing a thing on there because I knew when I made records, I was a very wild act and too far ahead for its day and age, and the BBC would never play my records. Luxembourg wouldn't play my records, so there was nowhere left. So I decided to play a lot of my own records on there, obviously, but plus a lot of my other colleagues in the business, who up to that time didn't get a lot of airplay. People like Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, and Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers, and a lot of my own personal friends, the Outlaws and bands like this, would get now and again a little play, but I'd play whole albums, you know, both sides for them. And then I did a whole series of events where I asked for any local bands struggling that have just made a record or made demonstration records, send them in and we'll play them over the air. We was playing people's demonstration records and saying if there's any big record companies listening, which they were listening to them, you know, some of their staff, someone was always listening. So a few got discovered, you know, from us playing acetates and their own tapes. So we got a few groups off the ground, which wasn't too bad.
The programmes for the station were divided into three time slots: noon to 2 p.m, 5 to 8 p.m, and 12:15 to 2:15 a.m. The early slots were mainly music shows, but the late night show was something different.
But we had many a laugh at the tour women that are coming by with Fanny Hill and Lady Chatterley's Lover and some of these spicy epics that we'd be reading out. Or telling a few jokes a bit near the knuckle. We used to play a lot of Max Miller albums, which at the time were banned from BBC again. Like everything that's anything with a bit of going and a bit of spunk is always banned from the BBC. It made a change to something like Coronation Street. We thought we'd really give them something they really wanted to hear. It's all nice and scandalous, you know, which was good. It kept people listening, and people that didn't want to listen could switch off, but that's the kind of station we were. We didn't care.
Radio Such. It's time now to introduce the next episode of Lady Chatterley's Lover. You are tuned to Radio Such.
Sort of like these firm, down-running cars. Somebody was... She drifted on without knowing.
You are listening to Radio Such. You are listening to Radio Such. We would like to apologize for the slight distortion on the last record, but we'd like to amend this by playing the excerpt from Lady Chatterley's Lover in a moment on another turntable. Just hold on with us just 1 second. As you know, this radio station has only been set up a couple of days, not that even, and we're still not fully organized. Nevertheless, we'll take you back to Lady Chatterley's Lover, and we hope you like this version. This is Radio Such calling you at 197 meters.
A little slack. Similar, but with a slack thinness. Her thighs, too, that had used to look so quick and glimpsy in their female run, somehow they, too, were going flat. Slack, meaningless. It made her feel immensely depressed.